Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 1. Things where they should not be.
Come along, Spike. I'm sensing more gems over there.
For the baby dragon who had been spending all afternoon digging holes and dragging a cartload of gems through the woods, that melodious voice was both a drink of water and a quick break, rolled into one.
I'm coming, Rarity,
Spike answered. He stretched his shoulders and pulled the cart onward. The clinking of gems bouncing as the wheels rolled over the uneven ground sounded tempting. His mouth watered at the mere thought of the fine meal just behind him. But he didn't dare touch a single bauble. Rarity was making a dress for another bigwig pony who wanted to look like dragon bait, and he had the honor of contributing a few hours of mostly unpaid, backbreaking labor towards that goal. He approached the clearing where Rarity was waiting for him.
Right here, Spike, Rarity said. It's a large cluster this time.
One large cluster of gems coming right up, Spike replied.
He tore through the soft ground with practiced ease, and, one shallow hole later, a cache of finely cut gems sparkled in the sunlight.
Excellent, Rarity said. This should be more than enough. Thank you again for helping me, Spike.
No problem, Rarity, Spike answered.
He was beaming as he loaded the gems onto the cart. Mostly unpaid, he had thought earlier. But the appreciation of the most beautiful pony in Equestria, and a gem from the pile, were more than enough payment for all his hard work.
May I add that it is always my pleasure to be able to...
Rarity? Spike looked at the purple-maned unicorn. Her horn was glowing, a sign she had detected another cluster of gems nearby. But she had a puzzled look on her face, and she just stood there, instead of running off to where the gems were.
Rarity, are you all right?
He asked her. When she didn't reply, he reached up and tapped her with a claw. Startled, she gasped and then looked down at him.
What's wrong? Is it another cluster of gems?
Rarity looked around as if dazed. After a moment of silence, she replied.
Yes, and no, she said. I'm sensing something, but I don't know. I've never picked up anything like this with my magic. These aren't just some gems.
Not sure of what he should make of the pony's comments, Spike shrugged.
Well, it must be a really special bunch of gems. We should get them. They taste they might look really good on a dress.
You're right, Rarity answered. This could be the dress to put my star at the center of the fashion world.
Excited by her own guesses, Rarity galloped deeper into the woods.
Hurry, Spike, this way,
she called out.
Hey, wait, Spike called after. This cart is heavy, you know.
They were deep into the woods by the time Spike had caught up with Rarity. He found her staring at a small cave entrance by an outcropping of rock. Her horn was still glowing as she looked forlornly at the hole.
Ugh, I hate caves, she said. And this one looks like a tight fit. I'll be covered in dirt if I crawl through that.
Never fear, Spike is here, Spike said proudly.
Here was yet another chance for him to show off. The entrance would be just the right size for him.
Oh, would you, Spike? Rarity asked. The gems are just inside that cave. If you could go in and get them, I'd be so grateful.
With a nod, Spike went inside in a hurry, lest his swelling ego got him stuck halfway through the opening. To his relief, the cave was actually much bigger past the entrance. He realized that the entrance had been partially blocked by a pile of rocks, likely from a cave-in. He looked around. The gems should be nearby. He sincerely hoped that they didn't happen to be part of another dragon's pile. He wasn't going to touch another one of those, ever.
Spike, Rarity called out from the outside, did you find them yet?
The baby dragon looked around some more. The cave was nothing more but a single chamber with a ceiling just high enough to fit a pony, and with enough space to fit maybe four without squeezing. The uneven stone floor felt damp under his feet. The only light source in the cave came from the entrance, making it difficult to get a good look at anything. The cluster of gems should just be around. His eyes focused on it. By the corner of the cave was a single, dimly glowing turquoise sphere that was the size of a large apple. From a distance, it looked perfectly smooth. Not even a single facet marked its surface. He hurried over to get it. That beauty would surely get him a lot of points with Rarity. Maybe even a kiss. That was when his foot suddenly caught against something, sending him falling face first to the floor. He stood up, rubbing his nose painfully, and looked at what tripped him up. It looked like a white piece of wood, perhaps a tree root or something. He looked at the thing closer, and then gave out a yell.
Spike!
A concerned Rarity called out from the entrance.
Are you all right in there?
Spike edged away from what had tripped him. It wasn't a tree root at all. It was a bone. The skeletal foreleg of a pony skeleton splayed across the cave's floor. The bones were clean and dry. They must have been there for ages. The skeleton was still wearing the ragged remains of what clothing it had in life. What had happened here? Was this a tomb? Spike shook his head. The skeleton didn't look like it was placed neatly here. From the way it was positioned, it looked like some poor pony crawled into this cave a long time ago, and then died. A sudden chill crawled up Spike's spine as he continued to stare at the pony's remains. For a moment, he was frozen in place, unsure of what to do.
Spike!
Rarity called out again. Spike forced himself to look away from the skeleton. He went over to the gem and grabbed it. At once, he shuddered at the feel of the stone in his claw. It was perfectly smooth as he had expected. It was also warm to the touch and made his scales tingly. Regardless, he left the cave with the gem in his claws and presented the stone to Rarity.
Oh my,
Rarity gasped.
That looks absolutely gorgeous. It's going to be the crowning jewel on my masterpiece. Wait, imagine it on a tiara, or on a scepter.
She reached out to touch the sphere. Upon touching it, however, her excitement changed to puzzled wonder.
It's warm, she said.
Weird, huh? Spike asked.
Not just warm, Rarity continued. It's magical. Can you feel it? It's positively humming. What was in that cave, Spike?
Well, there was a skeleton and... the baby dragon answered.
A skeleton? Rarity gasped. Why didn't you tell me? The thing could be cursed.
Not with the curses again, Spike groaned.
I thought you'd like it. And I do, Rarity answered. But I know. Why don't you have Twilight Sparkle look at it first? She might know what it is. If it's safe, you can bring it to me to use.
Well, that's true, Spike said. Twilight would have an idea what this is.
The sphere continued to glow a soft turquoise as the two made their way back.
Spike, I have no idea what this is.
Twilight Sparkle held the sphere up telekinetically, staring at it with fascination as it caught the light in her house. The gem was definitely magical. It hummed softly the moment she picked it up with magic. Having it near her made her feel tingly all over, especially around her horn. She set it down on a table and then levitated several books from their shelves.
Look up magical artifacts. Maybe we can find a reference, she said.
Spike was already flipping through the pages of the book. It was already evening by the time he got back home. Not only that, it was seldom that he felt a lot of enthusiasm for any of Twilight's research endeavors. But the sooner he could confirm that the sphere was flashy but harmless, the sooner he could give it to Rarity. He took note of where the gift wrapping was stored in the house. He was probably going to need some soon. To his disappointment, nothing in the book said anything that remotely had anything to do with the gem.
See anything? He asked.
No,
Twilight answered, the disappointment evident in her tone as well. She set down Arcane Gems and picked up another book.
What else did you see in that cave, Spike?
Nothing else, Spike answered. Just the skeleton and that thing.
No clothes or other items?
Twilight asked.
Just some rags from whatever it was wearing. It looked like it had been there for a long, long time.
What did the rags look like?
Like rags?
I mean the color or patterns. Something that might clue us in on who or what that pony was.
Spike scratched his head and thought hard.
I don't remember, he said. Now that you mentioned it, I did leave the cave pretty quickly. I might have missed some stuff.
Well, it's settled then, Twilight said.
Tomorrow, we're going to that cave and giving it a thorough search. We should also give that poor pony a proper burial.
I don't know, Twilight, Spike said.
Maybe we should leave it alone. There's something really scary about that place. While I was in there, I felt like
you shouldn't be there?
Twilight added helpfully.
No, like, it shouldn't be there. It was like I was just minding my own business in this house and some stranger just walked in without saying anything.
Twilight's brows furrowed.
That's weird, she thought out loud. But also more reason to check it out. If we don't find anything, I think we should visit Canterlot and use the library there. It might even be necessary to ask Princess Celestia about this thing.
If you say so, Twilight,
Spike said with a yawn.
I'm going to bed. Dragging that cart around is hard work.
Good night, Spike, Twilight said.
She set another book aside and looked around. Perhaps it was time for her to get some sleep as well. She gave the sphere on her desk one last look, and then headed to bed. The next day, Spike found himself wandering the woods once more. He wasn't looking for gems this time, though, and it wasn't Rarity he was walking with. Both facts contributed to the reason why there wasn't a lot of spring in his step, despite not having to drag a load of gems behind him. He wasn't exactly thrilled to see the skeleton again, either.
"Are you sure it's this way, Spike?"
Twilight asked from behind him. She was carrying a bag with her, which had a few books she felt might help, as well as the strange gem.
"Yes, I'm sure," Spike snapped.
It was the third time that Twilight had asked him that question, and it had already grated on him the first time.
"It's just that we've been walking for a long time now, and I think we just went in a circle," Twilight said, her tone mollifying.
"It's around here somewhere," Spike said. "I remember going this way. There's that stand of trees and those bushes and..."
His eyes narrowed. The landmarks were all there. The cave should be nearby. He looked around more carefully until his eyes finally landed on a particularly rocky spot.
"There it is," he exclaimed.
The two of them hurried over to the spot.
"I don't see any caves, Spike," Twilight said.
"It should be around here," Spike said in frustration. "A hole doesn't just get up and walk away."
"And here it is. No wonder it was so hard to find. It's gotten smaller."
"Smaller?" Twilight asked.
"How?"
"Looks like some of the rocks had fallen over and blocked even more of it," Spike replied. "It's going to be a tight squeeze, even for me."
"Don't worry about it," Twilight replied. "You said the cave is big enough inside, right?"
"Yeah, you should fit in easily."
"All right, I'll just teleport in while you squeeze through."
"Gotcha." Twilight focused her mind, her horn glowing as it gathered magical energy. A quick hop of a teleportation spell should be pretty easy. She'll probably need a light spell once she was inside, though. She was still thinking this when, suddenly, a burst of magical energy threw her concentration off balance.
"Twilight, what are you doing?"
Spike asked in surprise. A crackling aura of blue-white magical energy had surrounded the purple unicorn.
"I don't know," Twilight cried out in confusion. "I just cast a teleportation spell."
"The gem," Spike yelled. "It's the gem! Get rid of it!"
Sure enough, the aura was emanating from Twilight's bag. Before she could reach for it, however, another surge of magical energy exploded from her. The force hurled Spike against the outcropping of rock, and then enveloped her as quickly as it had emerged. There was a loud hum, and then a flash of light. After that, everything fell silent, and Twilight Sparkle had disappeared.
"Twilight?"
Spike asked as he looked around. He checked the cave in case she had indeed teleported there. The darkness's silence greeted him coldly in response. Panicked, he looked around even more, climbing up to the outcropping to get a better view. He didn't see anyone.
"Twilight?"
he called out. There was no response from anywhere.
"Twilight!"
he shouted in desperation. Still, no response. Terrified, confused, and alone, he fell on his tail and rested his claws to his face. The moment the flash of light dazzled her vision, Twilight Sparkle found herself falling as if she had been standing on a rug that someone pulled from beneath her, and instead of hitting the floor, she kept on falling. She recognized the feeling as that of a teleportation spell. A badly miscast, out-of-control teleportation spell. Twilight couldn't help but remember her first teleportation. A disastrous attempt that ended with far too many rose thorns being pulled out of very hard-to-reach places. Her vision was still painfully dazzled when she hit the ground. Or at least she hit something. The ground was a little softer than she remembered, and it quickly shifted from beneath her, as if it were trying to shake her loose.
"Torado's blood-smeared hoofs, get this thing off me!"
Sumpony yelled, a feminine voice by the tone. When Twilight focused, she realized that Sumpony was yelling from beneath her. Her vision partially clearing, she did her best to scramble away. Before she could do so, the thing beneath her heaved violently, hurling her to the very hard, very cold ground.
"It's a pony!" someone else shouted. This one came from above her. "Those crazy wolven are chucking ponies around now!"
"The wolven didn't chuck this one anywhere, Scarlet. I saw it materialize right above Pyre," a third voice spoke.
Twilight's vision finally cleared. She got to her hoofs unsteadily and looked around, only to find herself flanked by two ponies. To her left was a clearly angry unicorn, white, like her friend, Rarity, but with a wild, black mess of a mane that covered her from head to shoulders. To her right was an earth pony, a big brown stallion with a cropped corn-yellow mane. He wore some gray-plated barding around his chest, neck, and flanks like the royal guards did. He had no angry stare. Instead, he appraised her coldly. She heard the flapping of wings above her and guessed that there was a Pegasus hovering there. She didn't look up, however. The sight of the unicorn was too menacing to turn away her attention. She backed away slightly, unsure of whether to talk or run. After a moment of silence, it was the stallion who decided to speak again.
"Pyre, look at her flank," he said.
The Pegasus above them laughed.
"Well, you're quick to look in that direction, Blade Mane. Didn't take you for a flank stallion."
"Quiet!"
the black mane unicorn snapped. She looked at Twilight carefully, her eyebrows furrowing deeper when her brown eyes focused on Twilight's cutie mark. Her nostrils flared as she recognized it.
"Chosen!" she snarled. "Blade Mane!"
"Wait, what?" Twilight cried out. Before she could move, the brown stallion charged her and knocked her down. She struck the ground side first. Before she could recover, he pinned her into place with his front hooves, his heavy, metal-shod front hooves.
"If I see that horn glow, you'll be pulling pieces of it from where the sun doesn't shine, Chosen," he said, his baritone voice coldly menacing.
"What is going on?"
Twilight groaned weakly. The stallion's weight on her shoulders was crushingly painful.
"Who are you, ponies?"
The unicorn walked over and slammed a hoof on her face. Twilight felt the vision in her left eye go black for a few seconds, followed by a searing pain that quickly turned into a swelling numbness. Tears sprang from her eyes as she tasted something metallic that leaked into her mouth.
"You'll speak when spoken to, Chosen," the unicorn hissed, "and we'll be the ones to ask the questions."
"If we kill her, can I skin her flank first?" the Pegasus asked. "That star symbol thing would look fetching on my crinière."
"No pony is skinning any pony,"
a fourth voice came from behind Twilight. On reflex, she tried to take a look, but was still pinned to the ground.
"Let her up, Blade Mane."
Twilight felt the crushing pressure against her ease up. She tried to get up, but only managed to right herself on her knees. The pony called Blade Mane walked over to stand with the angry unicorn. On instinct, Twilight turned her gaze towards the newcomer. Against the unicorn's enraged hostility, the earth pony's cold brutality, and Pegasus's casual threats, the newcomer seemed to offer some refuge. To her surprise, she found herself looking at a walking, pony-shaped mass of black metal. Twilight had seen barding before on Princess Celestia's royal guard, but even those stern, gold-barded ponies were skimpily clothed compared to this pony. Only the eyes, nostrils, and mouth served as signs that there was something alive under all that metal. Even his legs were hidden by a cloth covering, a caparison, as she had read from a book somewhere. Twilight guessed that he was a gray earth pony. From his tail, she could tell that he also had black hair. He was a little smaller than the brown stallion who had been pinning her, but his presence made him seem to tower over all of them. The unicorn stepped forward, her face a warring mixture of protest and resignation.
"Captain, she's a chosen! Look at her flank!"
The heavily armored pony answered in a deep, growling tone. He sounded more like a bear than a pony to Twilight.
"I can see the big elaborate star on her flank, Vice Captain. The last time I checked, the wolven haven't gouged my eyes out."
"The captain's a flank stallion, too," the Pegasus above them crowed. "Oh, day of revelations!"
Her protest ignored, the unicorn focused her angry stare above them instead. The captain turned his attention on Twilight, who couldn't help but quiver a little at the intimidating sight.
"You've broken some of your Princess Celestia's very important laws to get to where you shouldn't be, Chosen. I hope for your sake that you can bear the consequences."